Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. A shepherd has a very particular relationship with his sheep. He gathers in the ones that wander away from the flock, and he protects them from the wolves that seek to devour the strays. On this Christ the King Sunday, we see how God promises to his people Israel, through the prophet Ezekiel, to be the shepherd of his own people, a promise that he kept when he came to earth as the man Jesus Christ. So grab your Bible, turn it to Ezekiel chapter 34, and join us as we welcome the coming shepherd. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones in the pews or the ones that you brought with you, and turn in them with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. We don't read from Ezekiel very often, so it's just, if you look at the middle of the book, it's about a little bit to the right of the middle. Ezekiel. Today we come to a time in the church calendar. This is actually the last Sunday in the church calendar year. It's called Christ the King Sunday. Next week, we will begin a new church calendar year with Advent. Advent begins next week, but this is the time when we anticipate the coming of Christ the King. And that's really what Advent is all about. Advent is about anticipation, anticipating the next coming of Christ. We celebrate the fact that Christ has come, but we also anticipate his return. In today's reading, we're looking at a prophecy that happened, a word of God that was speaking through Ezekiel to the people of Israel. And this happened before the first time that Christ came. So let us look at this word for us today. Chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, then we'll skip down to verse 20. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Skipping down to verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The image of a shepherd is one that we often associate with Jesus. Jesus, in the book of John, said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he said. He said, there is a difference between a hired hand and a shepherd. Because the hired hand, when the wolf comes, he said, he will run away. He doesn't care about the sheep. The sheep are not his own. But the shepherd is different. The shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd loves his sheep. And when the wolf comes, the shepherd will stand and will defend them. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. This image of being a shepherd, it repeats itself all throughout God's word. And because of that, it leads me to believe, as someone who has studied God's word, it leads me to believe that the idea of being a shepherd is central to God's word and his relationship with us. That he is our shepherd. Here in today's reading, in Ezekiel, God himself is declaring himself to be the shepherd of his people. And that's very important, because when Jesus later claims to be the good shepherd, he's basically claiming to be God. But we'll see that in a second. In verse 11, he says, thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. What does a shepherd do? When the sheep wander from the flock, the shepherd goes and he searches them out. Remember the parable that Jesus taught of this shepherd. He said, who among you who has 100 sheep, when one is lost, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go seek the one which is lost? And when you have found the one that is lost, you place it on your shoulders and you go and return and you rejoice. And you say to your friends, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Jesus knows that there are lost sheep and that there are sheep that are secure. He leaves the secure ones to find the ones that are lost. He doesn't just leave the lost sheep to the wolves. He goes and finds them and brings them back. It's what he came for. And this is what God says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. So God is searching for us. He's reaching out to us. It's what John Wesley called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. It's that grace that God extends to us even before we know him. The Apostle John wrote, we love because God loved us first. God loves us first. It's that prevenient grace. It's the grace that goes before we come to know God through Christ. God reached out to me in love even before I knew him, even when I denied his very existence. I was that lost sheep wandering away from the flock, and he came and sought me out and brought me back. Because God doesn't give up on any of us. He loves all of us. In verse 12, he says, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, in this prophecy, Ezekiel is talking specifically about the scattering of the people when they were exiled into Babylon after Jerusalem fell and the people of Israel were exiled into Babylon. He's saying, I will bring those people back. I will bring all of them back to Israel. And in fact, that did happen. It happened twice, in fact, in history. The first time it happened, we see at the end of the Persian occupation, that Darius allowed the people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And then Israel was reestablished as a province. Now, that province was given over to the Greek Empire and then was given over to the Roman Empire. At Jesus' time, it was an occupied province, but all the Jews were in Jerusalem. They were there. After Jesus was crucified and after he was resurrected, about 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, there was an uprising in Jerusalem, and the Romans put it down violently and destroyed Jerusalem and again scattered the people. And then it took another 1900 years before God brought all his people back together into the nation that we today know of as Israel. Israel. We've been studying the book of Esther in our Bible study on Monday nights. And we've been talking about how we take it for granted today that Israel is a nation. And when we read about Israel in the Bible, we can picture Israel in our heads. But what was it like to read the Bible prior to 1948? Because prior to 1948, there was no nation called Israel. There was no nation called Israel. And we couldn't point to the map and say that's where it was. We had to rely on maps in the back of our Bible to tell us where Israel used to be. But now, we can look and say that is God's country. That is the promised land. That is where all these things in history occurred. And we can point to places on the current map and say, that's where Jacob's well is. That's where Jacob laid down his head and said, this must be the house of God, Bethel, where he had the vision of the angels ascending and descending on the ladder to heaven. God has brought his people back together again. He gathered his flock as a shepherd would do. He rescued them from the places to which they had been scattered. And then in verse 13, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and all the inhabited parts of the land. This promise has come true. God restores his people. God reaches out to his people in love. And he keeps reaching out, even when they turn away from him. The people were scattered. The people were divided. They were sent away from the land of Israel, not because of human intervention. But God used humans to divide his people. They were scattered by Babylon, by a pagan nation, because the Jews at this time had chosen to turn away from God and to follow the ways of the other pagan nations. God said to them, fine, if that's what you want to follow, then that's what you're going to have in your life. That's going to be your reality. Babylon swept down into Jerusalem, conquered it, and carried all the people out into slavery. Into exile, to where they were living amongst the Babylonians. But they were still God's people, divided though they were. God says, verse 14, I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. What an amazing promise. And it's a promise that comes straight from our beloved 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It was a psalm that David had written, and David, of all people, would know what a shepherd was about, because he began as a shepherd and became a king. David was a shepherd who became a king. He understood what it meant to gather the flock. He understood what it meant to lead the flock with a shepherd's crook. God keeps using this image of a shepherd as someone who would lead his people, as would gather his people. And if we skip down to verse 23, we see that God says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. It's not a return of David himself that he's talking about, but someone who is descended from David. And if we read the genealogies both in Matthew and in Luke, we know that Jesus was born into a family that had descended from David. Was born in the very town where David was born, in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David. And so, we see these prophecies fulfilled. The shepherd king. The shepherd king has come. He was born of lowly means. He was laid in a humble feeding trough as his crib. And yet he is the very one who commanded everything to be. He stepped off of his throne, laid down his crown, and took up a shepherd's hook to lead his people. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves us. He did that for us. Became a man. Just the fact that he says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. He says, I will be the shepherd. I will be the shepherd. And then he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. He's not contradicting himself. He's saying that your shepherd will be a man. But Jesus was more than a man. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. And he stepped into history to rescue his flock. There is a little bit in the middle here that we have to look at. Verse 17 says, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. And we see this exact same thing in the reading in Matthew that we read today. Jesus said, the king shall sit down and gather all the people, and he shall divide them on his right and his left, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Put his sheep on the right and the goats on the left. What does he say to the sheep? He says, you saw me hungry and you fed me. You saw me naked and you clothed me. You visited me in a hospital. You visited me in prison. And the sheep, being faithful sheep, being people who didn't do those things for recognition, said to him in all humility, when did we do those things? We don't understand. When did we do those things for you? And the king says, whenever you did those for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did them for me. But Jesus doesn't end there. He turns to the goats and he says, you did not feed me when I was hungry. You did not minister to me when I was sick. You did not visit me when I was in prison. You did not clothe me when I was naked. You did not shelter me when I was homeless. And they, to him, said, well, when did we not do those things for you? We didn't even see you hungry. We didn't see you naked. We didn't see you homeless. If we had, we would have done something. And Jesus says, whenever you did not do those things for the least of my brothers and sisters, then you did not do them for me. We're coming to a time of Thanksgiving. This week we're going to gather with our families and we're going to celebrate what it means to be thankful for all the things that God has given for us. We are a blessed nation. We have a great deal to be thankful for. We have an abundance. We, quite honestly, even the poorest among us, don't really know what it means to be in poverty. And I've been in places in the world where poverty is poverty. We are blessed. What do we do with that abundance? What do we do with that blessing? And God sets us up to be a blessing for others. And God, like a shepherd, He gathers His whole flock. Now, He loves us. He loves every one of us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son to die for us. And that is one thing that if we have nothing else to be thankful for, we can look to that. We can look to the salvation that God offers to us through Jesus Christ and say we're thankful for that. We deserved death. We deserved to be separated from the rest of God's flock. But God stepped off the throne into history and became a man to die on the cross for us. Not when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst, because that's when we needed Him the most. And God continues to reach out to us even today. He never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. If we have nothing else to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving, we have that. And that is more than enough. If the only thing that we have to be thankful for is that God saved us from our condemnation, then we ought to spend every minute of our lives on our knees giving praise and thanks to God. So when we come together over the table this Thanksgiving, let's think a little bit about what God has done for us, how He is our shepherd, how He became a man to rescue us, to bring us back into the fold, and to draw us to Him. We love because we were first loved by God. And His grace goes before us. Let us, this Thanksgiving, let us consider all that He has done for us and give thanks. Let us pray. O Lord God, we give thanks to You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who stepped off the throne and reached out to us in grace to justify us before You, to pay the price for our sin. We give great thanks, Lord, for all that You have done for us, for the way that You provide for us, for the things that You continue to do. And Lord, we will be very careful in all things, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You and to give You praise, honor, and glory now and forevermore. Pray these things, Lord, in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.